I want to talk to you this morning about a man I know. I've not actually met him firsthand, but I know him. And I suspect that you do as well. He is an extremely significant individual. He is not a political figure, but he does exert influence over many nations and over many peoples. In fact, he is important enough, I would dare to say, we would not be gathered here today if it weren't for this exceptional man. Three of the world's key religions trace their origins back to him. Judaism, Islam, that we hear so much about today, and of course, Christianity. He is actually the second most important person in the Bible. His name is Abraham. And again, you may have met him. You may have heard about him, as I have. Abraham's very, very important because without him, there would be no nation of Israel. There would be no Arab nations. And we might even speculate and say there would not even be Jesus because Jesus is a descendant of Abraham. So it's pretty important that we take a good look at this man, that we study Abraham's life. And one of the key reasons right up front I will tell you why it's important that we study him is because really to know him is to understand God's salvation plan. And that is vitally important for each one of us. There are over 12 chapters in the book of Genesis that are devoted to Abraham, and he is prominently mentioned in four of our New Testament books, Romans, Galatians, Hebrews, and James. He's mentioned at least 70 times in the New Testament. Romans chapter 4 verse 16 tells us that he is important to us in a personal way because it says there, those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Our tradition as a church is to be of the faith of Abraham. And so we are of the faith of Abraham, and because of that, he is the father of each one of us. So we are personally related to him in a special way. By the way, as I thought about him being our father, I wanted to set something straight right here at the start. We're going to be talking about Abraham quite a bit in the upcoming weeks. As far as I know, there's only one real song that's devoted to this guy, and I hate it. So let's get one thing straight. Our theme song, as we talk about Abraham, is not going to be that goofy Father Abraham song, okay? I don't know why that song is the one that honors him, that you shake around and do weird things. Maybe you don't know the song. If not, you're blessed. But most of us who've ever gone to Sunday school or Bible school learned that song at some point. So we will not honor this man with that song, okay? So I just had to get that out of the way, had to get that off the table right at the start. When we talk about Abraham, forget that song. We're not going to sing it. We haven't done it so far today, and we're not going to in the future. So there, I feel better. I'm relieved I've had said that. So, again, we are going to spend time looking at Abraham. But, you know, I want to also get this straight. Looking at him, we are not really doing a history lesson as we study him in the upcoming weeks. Because to study Abraham is far more significant than just a history lesson. We discover as we look at his life and God's dealings with him, how God transforms imperfect travelers along the road of life to be a people of faith who are worthy to stand by the heroes of faith listed in Hebrews chapter 11. Okay? So that's the main reason we're going to take a look at this extraordinary man. Not just to blow the dust off of a history book, but to take a look at how God could take one man, a very ordinary, in fact, a very sinful man, we might add, at the beginning, and a man who made some decisions that were not always the best and not according to the will of God, a very flawed and imperfect person just like the rest of us, how God could take somebody like that traveling the road of life and appear to him and reveal himself to him and in a process change him to be an extraordinary man of faith. And he is prominently mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith. And so the reason we take a look at a man like that is because God is and can do the same thing in each of our lives. God can take us as ordinary individuals, like he took Abraham, reveal himself to us, change us through a period of time so that we also stand tall as a people of faith. So really, a study of the life of Abraham for us is going to be a personal journey of faith. And I pray that we relate so well to His life and His example that we grow and we are stretched in our faith as we go along on this journey with Him, so that we might grow to be men and women of faith, greater men and women of faith, even as we study this man of faith. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope." I especially claim the promise of that verse as we look at this man, Abraham. Whatever was written in the earlier times, all of the Bible, whatever was written prior to our lives, was written for our instruction. That's a key reason we get into this book, is that we be instructed that we know, but not just that we know, that through what we understand of Scripture, what we understand of the Word, that we gain perseverance, that we are encouraged by what we read in Scripture so that we develop a hope. In fact, I know I shared this verse with you last week as we specifically talked about hope, but I thought how it applies also to a study of this man of faith. We look at his life so that we also develop perseverance and endurance. We all know the challenges and the difficulties that we face in life. Here's a man that faced tremendous obstacles and difficulties, and he was an overcomer. And so we grow as overcomers as we look at this man as well. And so I want to invite you to open your Bibles to the earliest mention of this man, Abraham, in the book of Genesis, chapter 11. So if you're not turned there, please open your Bibles to Genesis 11, and I want to begin in verse 26 and just read this account down to the end of the chapter, down to verse 32. Again, Genesis chapter 11, beginning in verse 26, where we read about his father. His father, Terah, it says in verse 26, lived 70 years and became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now these are the records of the generations of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his birth in Ur of the Chaldees. Abram and Nahor took wives for themselves. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. I always get nervous with genealogies. There's names that are hard to pronounce. Verse 30, Sarah was barren. She had no child. 31, Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldees in order to enter the land of Canaan. And they went as far as Haran and settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. People certainly lived a lot longer back then, didn't they? When I read that, he lived 205 years, and then he died. And there's a whole story about that as to why people lived longer. But that's a quick record, first of all, of Abram's father and Abram himself, kind of setting the stage for the things that are so important for us to look at. And so I want to jump right into chapter 12, and verses 1 to 3 may be much more familiar to each one of us. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." Again, that's kind of the real beginning of the story with Abram. God appeared to him. And so he revealed himself. He spoke to him and made some promises to him. And so that really becomes the beginning of the story of Abraham, as he was later called. He's called Abram, as we see here. But God revealing himself and changing his life, a beginning of a journey of faith according to what he had done in his life. In the New Testament, Stephen, the very first martyr, begins his defense talking about Abraham. And in chapter 7, the first four verses of the book of Acts, he begins this speech which ultimately ends in his death as he's defending his faith, standing before the people of that time. And he says, "Hear me, brethren and fathers. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, and said to him, 'Leave your country and your relatives and come into the land which I will show you.'" And so he makes reference to what we've just read, the beginning of a faith journey of this man, Abraham. One writer says that the life story of Abraham begins in Ur of the Chaldees, where Abraham lived in a comfortable home and in pleasant circumstances. Archaeology has disclosed that Ur, located not too far from Babylon, was a prosperous city with lovely homes, beautiful parks, and public buildings. Abraham was comfortable and secure in Ur, but it also was a wicked city where pagan sacrifices, including human sacrifices, abounded. This was no place for Abraham's faith to be nurtured. So we need to pause and think a little bit about where the story begins, where he lives. Ur of the Chaldees, a really with it kind of a city back at that time, and certainly a very wicked place. And as the writer says, and I think that is so true, this was no place for his faith to be nurtured. This was not the kind of a city for him to live in where God could begin to deal with him. And so things needed to happen, changes needed to come, and he needed to move away from that area. Joshua chapter 24, verse 2. Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." I want to linger on that last phrase for just a little bit. Also describing how things began with Abraham. He and his father and his brothers lived in this land and served other gods. You know, we like to put Abraham up on a pedestal. We talk about the faith of Abraham. And it's good that we revere him, but we need to pause for just a bit before we put him up on that pedestal as a great paragon of faith. He was an idol worshiper. He worshiped other gods. He was totally out of sync with the one true God. And so I think we need to get this picture that this is how things begin with him. He was not always the man of faith that we know about later on. He's living in this place called Ur of the Chaldees, and there he bows down and worships other gods. And so anything but a God-pleasing man. And so again, we need to linger for a bit and think for a little bit about this man living that way. He is spiritually ignorant. He is literally a godless man at the beginning of the journey. That's the Abraham that we encounter at the start. But then there is the call of God. God reveals himself. It says, "Now the Lord Yahweh or Jehovah, said to Abraham." God came and appeared and spoke to Abraham. He said to Abram. When I read something like that, I'm always intrigued by the call of God. Maybe we all are. God appeared to Abraham. We just read those verses and maybe run on ahead, but you know, wait a minute. Pause for just a little bit. God appeared and he spoke to Abram. I'd like to know the mechanics of all that. You know, I'd like to understand that a little bit more. Well, exactly what happened? Did God speak in an audible voice? Was there this strong mental impression that he made upon Abraham's mind? Was there this physical appearance? Was there the bright light and all of that? It doesn't tell us anything other than the fact that God appeared and God spoke. And so we're left to imagine how the whole thing came about. So we don't know how God revealed himself, how God spoke to Abraham, but it was an undeniable, life-changing experience. Maybe to better appreciate it, we come back to a question for each of us, namely how we became Christians, those of us that are believers in this room. How'd you become a Christian? How did God reveal himself to you through his son, Jesus Christ? That might be a little bit hard to pin down. But each of us who've made that decision, who committed our lives, we know that it was real. We know that a change came about. And so maybe that's sufficient for us in terms of Abram as well. We don't know the specifics. We don't know how God did it. But the very fact is God revealed himself, spoke to Abraham while he was an idol worshiper in a very, very wicked city. God called to Abraham and he told him something about leaving before he could go somewhere else that he was promising for him. And I want to focus a little bit on the leaving thing here this morning. Not so much where he's headed, but let's talk about what he is leaving. And if you look into this scripture, it says here God told him he needed to go from his country and from his relatives and from his father's house. These are things he needed to do before he could go to the land that God was going to show to him. So we pause for a little bit and think about what God is calling him away from. The reason we do that is because that's where the journey of faith really begins for all of us. There are those things that we have to leave before we can go to where God wants us to be. And so again, thinking about Abraham leaving, in fact, pausing for a moment and thinking about where he is in this place, Ur of the Chaldees, worshiping idols as a godless man, we begin to get a picture that Abraham represents every person before they come to Christ. So if we want to really relate to his life, that's the very beginning. That's where all of us started as well. Living as godless people, bowing down to other gods before we knew the one true God through his son Jesus, living in a wicked area, that's where we all begin. That's where Abraham begins. And so the first call to him really is the same call to each one of us. There are things that are to be left in order to move ahead in obedience and following after God. So let's consider these three things Abram was called to leave. First of all, it says that he is called to leave his country. In his case, he really did have to leave physically from his country. That's not always the case with each one of us. Our faith journey does not necessarily involve leaving the United States or Canada or Mexico or wherever it is that we're from, but it represents that we need to leave where we have been living, in a sense, living in the old life, the ambitions that we've had, the loyalties, the worship that we've had before we knew the one true God through Jesus Christ. That's where the journey begins for each of us like Abram. We've got to leave that area, that territory, that country, and we've got to move on from there. When you think about what Abram was called to leave, Ur of the Chaldees, we could spend a lot of time talking about that city and what is known about it, but the things that we know is it was not a real great place at all. It's considered that the Tower of Babel, or Babel, however you pronounce it, recorded in Genesis, it may have been there. That was a great monument to try to reach God somehow, and God, of course, confounded the languages of all the people. That's why we have all the languages we have today, is because of what they did that was displeasing to God. Ur of the Chaldees probably was the very beginning of all the occult religions, the anti-God systems of worship that exist even today, and so it really, really was a wicked place. It literally represents the satanic system that is radically opposed to God. So think about Ur of the Chaldees and what it represents. And Abram is called to leave that kind of environment to move in a journey of faith toward God. Again, so it is with each of one of us at the beginning of a journey of faith. Where we reside may not seem all that bad, but before we come to God through Christ, where we reside represents everything that is opposed to Him. So we have to begin by leaving that country of origin in that sense. Secondly, God called to Abram and told him that he had to go forth from his relatives. He had to leave behind his family. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Those are hard words. But those are the words that come down to each one of us if we would also embark on a journey of faith. We have to be willing to love the Lord and to love his son, Jesus Christ, more so than even our family. Again, a very hard saying, to show preference over our own relatives. When you think again about Abram living in a wicked city, called to leave his family, relatives, in a sense, represent those people of influence around him, representing the people of influence around us. People representing values that are anti-God. And that can be literal relatives, that can be literally friends, those who hold on too strongly to something that is opposed to the one true God. And the call of faith calls us to leave those people of influence if they're not willing to also be changed and follow along with us in the journey of faith. Thirdly, Abram was called to leave his father's house. That phrase may not seem so familiar to us in our culture today, but back in those days when a man got married, he pretty much stayed behind in his father's business, and what they did was they added on to the house. They added on whatever room was needed so that the new family could grow and they all lived under one roof. And so accommodations were made and there was security in that household, there were resources. All those things that would make for a comfortable life as one began his journey with a new family. in a real sense, as we think about a call similar to Abram's, that we are to leave our father's house, means that we are called to leave the place of natural resources. And that can be very difficult. That can mean leaving behind the talents that we have. That might mean leaving behind our birthright. Our financial and material security might be included in that as well, to begin a journey of faith out where God would call us to go. And so again, the call of faith, the journey of faith, involves for each of us, as it did for Abram, leaving behind those things of security, those things that were familiar, those things that would be easy to hold on to, and to go as God called him, to go forth from your country, from your relatives, and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. We'll talk a lot more about the land in upcoming weeks. But again, realize that God calls each of us to leave behind before we can move ahead. And that's a key thing I want you to hold on to here this morning as we look at Abraham and his example. We are called to leave certain things behind if we are going to move ahead in a journey of faith. That has some personal implications for me. As I thought about these things, I remembered back to a day, late summer, 1974. I had loaded up my car with all my worldly belongings. I started out on a journey of faith to a little town called Oregon, Illinois, to attend a Bible college. I'd never been there. I knew only one person there. I knew very little about the place or about the people or what was ahead for me. But one thing I knew that the circumstances God had brought about in my life indicated a call, and I won't go into trying to explain it, but I know as surely today as I did then, God had called me, and I knew that call involved leaving home and going somewhere else. I had no idea what all would lie ahead. I certainly didn't imagine I would be here or any of the other places or any of the other things I've done over those years, but I knew that I had to leave home. And for a guy that didn't travel around too much as a kid, that was a tough thing. That's one of those days etched in my mind like a picture from yesterday. I can remember it so well. I can remember saying goodbye to my parents. I remember getting in my car and starting it up and barely able to see because of the tears. I remember that I thought, what a big deal this is. It was a lot bigger than what I had bargained for, and I was scared. But I knew God had called, and I knew the first step was I had to leave behind. Again, I think that fits all of us in the journey of faith, whatever it involves, wherever we are and so forth. There are things to be left behind in order to move ahead in the journey of faith. I want to have you consider a question this morning as we think about Abraham at the beginning. Is there anything that is holding you back that you need to leave behind in order to move forward in your journey of faith? And maybe there isn't. Just when I ask questions like that, there's an assumption, aha, there is. Maybe there isn't. But this is the time to be honest with the question, because if we begin a journey of faith with the man of faith, Abraham, let's start by walking in his shoes and considering step one is to leave behind. Is there something I have been unwilling to leave behind that God would have me leave behind so I can move forward in faith? And I have no idea what that might be, if there's anything, but it's good to think about it. Is there anything at all that I have hung on to? They said, God, I want your call. I want a journey in faith, but I can't give this up. I got to hang on to this. Because you know, if there's that one thing there, that's probably the one thing God wants you to give up. So pause for a bit and think about that before we go any further in our studies out of the life of Abraham. Is there anything I need to leave behind if I would go forward in faith? So I want to leave you with that question this morning. And realizing to leave behind, there is some pain, as I've personally described to you. But you know what? There's a whole lot more joy than there is pain. There's so much more joy in what God has ahead for us in the journey of faith than what we leave behind. When I think about how painful it was that day to literally leave my father's house in 1974, I had no idea of the joy that was ahead in the journey that God had set before me. A joy that I have even today as I'm here with you. A joy that I could not have experienced without leaving some things behind, leaving my father's house in particular. So there can be pain associated with what we leave behind, but in faith there's far more joy in what's out there ahead. In fact, Jesus says it so well. I leave you with this today. Matthew 19, verse 29, he says, "Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life." I can tell you that is true. That is so true. I've experienced it in my life. The step of faith was painful, but I have been blessed beyond measure because in leaving those things behind, God has indeed given far more in this age and the promise of eternal life that is worth more than any of those things. That's what's promised. So again, we relate to Abraham as we go back to him, leaving on a journey of faith. He was willing to leave. As each one of us, I believe, have a deep down desire to leave, that we start out on the journey. But bearing in mind, whatever we leave behind, God blesses us far more in this age as we travel in faith. And of course, before us, the kingdom of God, life in the age to come. There's nothing better than that. So let's consider those things and make those decisions as we begin a journey of faith, as we consider this man of faith.